둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
We've played in Louisville, right? It's a venue right by a main road.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. Grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith. Don't forget to give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including the cast of The Big Cigar out now on Apple TV+. Comedian Modi was here. Tom Bailey of the Thompson Twins. Joe Gatto of Impractical Jokers. David Miller from Il Divo. Grace Cummings. Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. Amber Shardy Robinson starring in Palm Royale. Prentice Penny from Black Twitter and People's History. Comedian Matt Matthews. Maya Hawke, who's starring in Wildcat right now. And Spike Ferristing, who co-wrote Unfrosted with his old boss Jerry Seinfeld. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And of course, that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Joe Talbot of the band Idols. We're going to be talking about the record Tank. It's the band's latest that finds them looser, dancier, and teaming up with producers Nigel Godrich and Kenny Beats. Joe's going to discuss the intent the group enters each album with and having a purpose to their songwriting, as well as how he continues to connect with the emotions he creates while writing lyrics in the moment while on the studio mic. Joe also dissects the bigger themes of the LP, which paints a picture of uncomplicated love and empathy, something he also keeps in mind when talking about opposing political beliefs, the war in Palestine, and the far right's perception of his own progressive stance. We also get the picture of where the band may go from here, which may include Nordic techno folk. All that and more as we talk Tank. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Talbot of Idols.
Hi, Kyle.
I know you've been getting a lot of compliments on this new record, and I just want to be another person who compliments you on it because it's one of my favorite albums of this year already. And it's fun. It's powerful. It's got the great emotions that I think you were going for. And five albums in, for any band, and I think some get complacent, even though maybe they don't mean to.
Right.
But you all obliterated that. I mean, did you know what you were doing when you went into this record?
Yeah. I always go, every record, we know what we're doing. But I think one of the things we always do is come at every album with intent. Part of the process of our album making. And one of the most important ones is the initiation, you know, when you come up, I come up with a title and a theme, and then me and Bowen sit back and build a landscape on which that theme can dance. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, with every album, you have to come at it with intent. Otherwise, I think we'd fail as a band because we are very different human beings, and that intent or purpose is what drives us forward, you know. And you end up writing for the song, not for your ego or for your audience. You write it for the song and the song's sake, because it has intention. There is a purpose to everything on the record, the way it looks, the typeface I choose, the lyrics, you know, all the artwork, everything. I come at it with full intent every time.
See, that's what I wish from most artists, you know, whether I'm talking to them or just a fan listening to it. And I'm not saying they're wrong the other way, but so many artists, they just kind of stumble into the record, you know, like if it's a band, you jam around until it happens. I use that term loosely. You know, if you're a pop artist, maybe you're working with it, but you just kind of fumble into it, you know. It's like, and I think as a fan, for me, only speaking for myself, it's like I love hearing if someone knows beforehand. Why is that romantic me? I don't know, but it certainly is.
I think, you know, there's a sense of, you know, if it, even if the artist chooses to make a song just for the sake of it, their intention is for the love of making music. That's enough for me. But there has to be some purpose to it other than money, I guess, or longevity, staying away from a normal job or whatever. I don't know how you think about it. Any other way, to be honest. Like, I assume there are people out there that have that, but the thing, it's not a well kept secret, but this job is the best job in the world, and it's fruitful because it allows me a place, a safe place, to express myself, explore myself, and enjoy myself. And as long as you don't read the comments, it's a beautiful thing.
What's that term with pop pop pop, the Freudenfreud? Am I saying that right?
Freudenfreude.
Yeah, oh yeah, the person who finds pleasure in another person's good fortune. I mean, hearing you talk about this job and then hearing that word and the phrase, you know, and what that means in this album. Like, now that you've been touring this record some with this concept of our album of gratitude, I think is how you've put it in the past. Like, have you still been able to tap in to that emotion? You know, all this time, because the album happens at one point, and then life is lived, and you know, things happen. But for the concept that you have in that, and playing it on stage, do you feel that emotion still at when you're performing it?
Well, no, definitely not. Like, the thing about the songs that I write now, lyrically and melodically, I write them at the microphone, you know. I haven't got anything written. And what that means is the music writes it for me. Do you know what I mean? I've got all the words in my vocabulary. I've experienced all the things I've experienced up to this point. I am there already. And I guess the songs are written, and then, you know, the intent is there. There's thematics to the album. I know I'm writing love songs, and I enjoy that. And I enjoy it by writing lyrics to it and making it manifest outwardly. So then what happens is, like, it becomes a process of catharsis, and then it becomes another process of manifestation. You know, it becomes something new. And the reason why I feel we are successful live, as in, when I say successful live, I mean we are quite fluent in our language live, is because we've learned to unthink. And when you unthink and you go on stage, there's a sense of transparency, because it's just combustion in the air, you know. It's a magic that you cannot recreate. You just have to be there. And if I'm in a bad mood, you'll get a bad mood, Joe. But the If I go out there and I'm happy, you'll get happy Joe. If I'm sad, you'll see sad Joe. I'm not performing a character. I'm performing the songs, and they take over, you know. And there's an energy to that, and I become the moment, and that's why we're successful, is because we unthink live, and we manifest together with the people in the room, and it's like, it's a beautiful energy, but it's hard to explain. I don't think you know, that's why I didn't want to ever perform June live. It's because it's a song about my daughter's death, and like, that was for me in that moment. I wrote that for me. I mean, I write everything for me, but that was like that moment alone. No one else gets it. That's mine. But everything else is meant to be lived in and bastardized and enjoyed in however you want to enjoy it. And I'll be there.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Talbot.
I don't have to say anything new about your live show. It is a legendary live show. It is incredible what you guys do out there. And
thank you.
And it is interesting because I don't think that anybody comes to the shows like, what am I trying to say here? It's interesting to me, as we were talking about, as I was even asking about, when an artist presents a complete picture on an album, and that's one part of your life, and again, time passes, and it's almost like to represent that in any way later. Like, well, I guess what I'm saying is, when a painter paints, that's what I did. No one expects that painter to be that person again and again and again, right? But there's something about being a musician where, you know, when I'm hearing pop, pop, pop and all that stuff, it's like, maybe unfairly, there is a little bit of that expectation somewhere that that's still you right then.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, because like, because if you imagine performing live is similar to the way I write most of the songs, even if it's not at the microphone in the booth, if I'm writing at home and I'm listening, what I'm doing is I'm listening to the song over and over and over again, and allowing it to make me feel, you know, and then I write down how that feels. But that's the same live, you know, so the music's the same as it was in the booth, as it is on stage, you know, the same songs. So it's going to create a similar energy anyway, you know, it's the same landscape. So the dance will be similar.
With a dance, and yeah, teaming up with Nigel, with Kenny, and this sound that you all have created, what did these kind of beats offer your lyrics that maybe you didn't have access to in the past?
Well, I guess, obviously, I made half the songs, you know. I think the intent of this album was to create a dialogue of uncomplicated love. Love is not an abstract noun. It's not some wafer thin idea of romanticism. It's a very powerful verb. It's one of hard work, dedication, honesty, grace, empathy, patience, fortitude. And I wanted to come at that with power, a power that was taught to me by my mother, and then relearned by me through surviving many different things. And I had no doubt in my mind that this album was going to be exactly what I wanted it to be. And it was very uncomplicated for me to talk about, because love is the most potent thing in my life, and I'm very grateful for it. So when I made the songs with the boys, it allowed me to explore the facets that maybe aren't explored without a sense of vulnerability, tenderness and forgiveness and grace, gratitude. Comes when you let love in, you know? And I did. And the songs, you know, the tone of them are softer. When you become a parent, you don't have to, but I have become softer. I've become firmer in my discipline, but I discipline my child with kindness And I discipline her with patience, and I discipline her with love. And, you know, when you start doing that on a daily basis, you start realizing that you could probably apply that grace and patience and empathy with your peers. And then when you apply grace and empathy with your peers, you can almost see yourself applying grace and empathy to your opposition. And then the conversation is had with empathy and grace. And you start to realize that those people that you could have so beheaded are actually just like you. They're just as scared as you are. And they're just as tired as you are. They're just as hungry. Not always. Sometimes they're far more hungry and far more tired and far more scared. But when you come at things with empathy, you start to realize that we're all kind of wanting for the same things. You just, you know, freedom of speech is the act of listening. And I feel like I just wanted to write songs to allow me to explore the softer side so as to be not such a piece of work.
Man, if everybody, and I mean this, if everybody could come to that spot, maybe everybody needs to listen to an Idols record or make a record with Idols. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things is, though, I mean, and I think it's important to say, is that, and you know, it's a thing a lot of people, especially on the right or the alt-right, like to say about people on the left, is that I come at a place of privilege. It's easier for me to come at a conversation with empathy because I'm not ravaged by oppression. But because I'm not ravaged by oppression and I am privileged, I see it as my accountability, my responsibility to come at everything with love and empathy because I'm given the grace of time and money. And I'm very grateful. I want to show my gratitude by being loving and working hard at my art, which I'm very, very happy to do. And thank you very much for playing our music.
Well, I will say it only to echo you you know, with my own thought on one of the defining moments that I love about, I will say, being on the left, being on the progressive side, the defining trait to me is the caring outwardly about other people. And I'm trying not to say that as the backhanded thing that ultimately means how I think about the right is very much about the singular person.
Mm-hmm.
But that empathy, that's what I mean. If everybody can come to, because that's, for me, that's why I identify with myself on the left as, you know, a progressive person. It's because I care about the people that I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting if you come up, you know, like, if you want to be subversive and use the Trojan horse kind of political theory of killing them with kindness, you know, if you treat a conversation as a bartering exercise where your ideas and their ideas are to be bartered with, you've got to share each other's ideas and one of you is going to come out agreeing with the other. Let's say that's the game you've got to play politically. One of you's got to agree with the other. If you come at that with empathy, it's like an open hand. It's kind of offering yourself as a vulnerability, you know, to be like, I'm here. I'm with open ears. Why do you feel that way? Why are you doing these things? You know, if you come at things with aggression, you're just going to close people up. And they're not going to listen to you no matter what you say. You know, I'm about to come and do a tour in America, and you know the narrative around the mass murder in Palestine right now is seems to be a more of a conversation or contentious conversation in the States, and it's politicized how the murder of tens and tens and tens of thousands of people can be politicized is beyond me. But if I come at that screaming "Viva Palestina," it will make me feel good. But that's not what that's about. I've got to come at it with empathy and grace. I mean, it's a very uncomplicated situation for me. I am going to scream Viva Palestina forever. But, you know, you've got to come at these conversations. If I want, you know, people to read the right articles, or to see more of the facts and to open up and maybe see that maybe there's more to it than what the right-wing press are letting on. They're more likely to read an article that I've got on offer if I come at them softly than if I just scream fascist in their face, you know? Yeah. So shit, like, sorry, stuff like that.
Shit's fine. It's fine. The there's the old, whatever, the old thing about, you know, how do you get me to unclench my fist? You can grab it and you can pull at it, or you can just ask me nicely to open it up, you know? Which I always like that, you know, it's just a great way to think about things.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Talbot.
I love how those moments are applied on this album. Maybe even in it for like when I hear a gospel, you know, it's like here you are in what we're talking about as this outwardly thing. And when I hear the gospel again, as a fan, I hear this as a sort of coming to peace with yourself or the narrator's self, you know, and those moments which would lead to this. The subject at hand that we're getting at. I love those moments on here. And I really do. I think this is the best piece of art that you all have put out yet. And I say that as a fan of the four albums before it. If this, as has been said, I think at least once, if this record, it might be the unfinished business of Crawler, is there still room to go? Or does it go somewhere completely different from here?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I was asked a similar question, and I was thinking about the idea that are we going in the same direction? Because to me, Crawler was chapter one, you know, of the new book. But like, the direction is kind of many directions, you know. Crawler was us showing our gratitude for the amount of time and space we were given in a very tumultuous time, you know. People were losing their lives and their jobs and all sorts of horrible things, and we were very lucky. We knew we were going to come back to a beautiful audience that had built this house, so we showed that gratitude by challenging ourselves to be more lucid as artists and really explore who we are. And that means just transgression. It just means moving forward, you know. So for us, it is just, we're always going to now try and challenge ourselves, which hopefully will just mean that it's more and more chaotic as we go, you know. There'll be more ballads and Nordic techno folk and stuff like that, you know, whatever we fancy.
I look forward to it.
I do too. That's right. But yeah, you know, that hopefully that's all I mean, is that we're gonna just keep progressing.
Well, I sure hope so. Again, I love what you all do. I love this record. I love the thoughts that come out of your brain, man. And I mean that. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
My thanks to Joe Idols. The album Tank is out now. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you leave here. That way you get three new interviews sent to you every week, just like this one. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating. Leave a review if you feel inspired as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Can, David Bowie, Elastica, Counting Crows, Bush, The Cranberries, Crowded House, Over the Rhine, Otis Redding, Petula Clark, Waxahachie, and my interview with Paul Banks of Interpol. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
See you next time.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.